And song, and lead us in song, and all of you that participate in worship upon this morning. Let's get into the Word of God. Realize it's a little cool, sun and kind of cloud and kind of hit the sun, makes it a little cooler than we expected, but yet and still we want to get into the Word of God and I'm going to try to get you through this so you can go home where it may be a little bit warmer. All right, first Jeremiah. Not first Jeremiah, but Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. You already have it on your handout. Hopefully everybody has a handout. Does anybody need a handout that doesn't have one? I think everybody seems to have one. You got enough? Again, we thank those of you that have come in and joined us on the in the podcast gathering. We so appreciate you joining us that are out here on the parking lot. All right, Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. 1 through 10. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. These are the words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests from the town of Anath in the land of Benjamin. The Lord first gave messages to Jeremiah during the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah. The Lord's message continued throughout the reign of King Jehoiakim, Josiah's son, until the 11th year of the reign of King Zedekiah, another of Josiah's sons. In August of that 11th year, the people of Jerusalem were taken away as captives. The Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Oh, sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I am too young. The Lord replied, don't say I am too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I have put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kings. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant. Amen. We ask a blessing to the readers and listeners and those of you that share in God's holy word. Amen. Pray. Today, I want to talk from the subject, God's ICU. God's ICU. Let's look into the Word of God. Let's look into this now. Let me tell you a little bit about Jeremiah in this book. I may do more than one message out of this book. I may just do some jewels from Jeremiah. But Jeremiah is called the 11th hour prophet. The reason why he is called an 11th hour prophet is because, you know, the 11th hour is just before the day is done. In Jeremiah, he was prophesying at a time before God would judge Israel for their continued disobedience. Amen. God had been speaking to Isaiah and many of the other prophets and speaking through the priests to Israel, telling them to turn from their sins. But after years and years of pleading with them and telling them to turn from their sins, he sent Jeremiah in their last days to cry out to them to turn away from the other gods and worshiping the other gods and turn back to the true and living God. But not only was he the 11th hour prophet, the one that came at the last hour to give their late message He was also called the weeping prophet, because as he saw, amen, the people not listening to what he was saying, not listening to what God's word that was coming through him was saying, and continuing in their sin and disobedience and idolatry, he realized the destruction that they was headed for. It's just like a parent, Jeremiah, just like a parent whose child is on a path that's headed for sure destruction, and you plead and cry and pray and do everything within your power to turn that child around, but they just don't want to turn. They just won't listen, and you cry in the midnight because you know they're headed for destruction. That's Jeremiah. He was the weeping prophet. And you know, within this, now, here he's not called the laughing prophet or the jumping prophet or the dancing prophet. He was the weeping prophet because of his concern for the people. Listen, in this prophecy, I think in these first words, as Jeremiah records the Lord coming to him, the Lord prepares him for his task. We will see how the Lord prepares Jeremiah for what Jeremiah has in store for him as he works on the behalf of the Lord. You know, out of all Jeremiah prophesied during the reign of five different kings. Three of them are talked about in verse 1. He kept prophesying and preaching and telling people to turn from the evil ways through five kings. But listen, Jeremiah, after preaching through the lives of those five kings, nobody was listening. Nobody was turning around. Seemed like, amen, it seemed like that Jeremiah, when we look at here, he had an unfruitful ministry. His ministry was unsuccessful. But what I tell you, my brothers and sisters, God has not called us to success, but to be faithful. Because sometimes you ain't got to be faithful. Folk may not listen, folk may not hear, folk may not walk in the way that God would have them to walk. But if God did not call you to be successful, God called you to be faithful. And one thing we can say about Jeremiah, he was faithful. So God says, Jeremiah, I know because of the task that I'm giving you, that there are going to be times when you're going to need a special place in order to carry on. And in that time, I want to invite you to come into my ICU. Listen, this is what I mean by ICU. If you got a pencil, you got a paper. ICU, I know you got these things about the ICU in the hospital. All right, that's good. I want you. That's where I want you. Now, right by that, put some parentheses. And in those parentheses, write ICSEE. You, Y-O-U, I see you. And what God is really saying to Jeremiah, when times get tough, and the enemies and your haters come against you, I need you to know how I see you. Y'all listening to me? When times get rough in ministry or when you're working for the Lord, you need to know how God sees you. This is important. One of the reasons I chose to talk this on youth today is because there's an epidemic among the youth of youth suicide. Young people who haven't even who are barely beginning to live life are taking their own lives. There's an epidemic in our world, in our country, even in our cities and towns, of young people taking their lives and committing suicide. And when you get in that situation, one of the things that can help you to avoid this, one of the vaccines, I say, that you can take to avoid this is to go into God's ICU, to begin to see yourself like God sees you. Because if you see yourself like God sees you, you realize you have to live because God has so much He wants to do in you and through you and for you, and your life is worth living because God has something for you. Oh, I wish I had a witness this morning. I'm trying to tell you, and not only for the youth, amen, it's something for some of y'all older adults too. Because don't think suicide is just limited, amen, to the young people. It's a whole lot of people who are taking their lives, who are adults. And I want them to know the same thing, that God is not finished with you. There's something as believers God still wants to do in your life. I want our young people to know this. Because even though they may never consider suicide, but some of their friends, some of their classmates, some of their people on their athletic team, some of those in their squad may be considering suicide. And the same thing I'm going to say to you to keep you from going in that direction, I want you to be able to remember and say to them, Jeremiah, I know times are going to get tough, but when times get tough, I want you to know how I see you. Let's see. Chapter 4, the Lord gave me this message. Jeremiah says, 5. This is how God sees him. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nation. Listen. Let me read that again, because somebody missed that. That's why you gotta live. That's why your life is worth living. That gives your life meaning and power. He said, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to many nations. Let's go to those things. The first thing he said is, I knew you. God said, listen, even before creation, and I formed the world, I knew you. I knew all about you. I knew the kind of heart you got. I knew the kind of person you're going to be. I knew you intimately. I knew all about you and what was in store for you. I knew you before you, amen, was in your mother's womb, and even before, amen, your mother was in your grandmother's womb. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. I knew you before your father, amen, before your father's seed, and before your grandfather, amen, was giving your father to his seed. I knew you in your mother's womb. I knew you already. God knows us, amen. And sometimes he had to call us back to who we are. Because sometimes this world try to change, amen. I got to know how God sees us. Because if you don't know how God sees you, and the fact that God knows you, this world will try to change you. Your enemies, amen, your haters will try to change you. Most of you too young. But back in the day, those of us a little bit older, amen, there was a movie came out years ago, I think in 1977, if I'm not mistaken, called Roots. And in Roots, there was a person that was enslaved, an African young man that was enslaved by the name of Kuti Kente. And Kuti Kente came over, and he was a strong African brother. Amen. And everybody looked at him because of his strength. And they tried, amen. They had gave all the other slaves name, but Kuti Kente held on to his name. Every time they asked who, he said, I'm Kuti Kente. So finally, in order, amen, to get the others in line, they had to get Kuti Kente in line. And they have a scene in there, amen, where he's beating and tortured. And they kept asking his name. And even while the beating and tortured, he said, Kuti Kente. Over and over again, amen, you have to remember who you are when the world is beating you down. Because the world wants you to say Toby. That was the name they gave to him. Amen. The world will try to beat you down until you say Toby and lose sight of who you are. But say, whenever this world beats you down, you got to know how, what God said, this is how I see you. I knew you in your mother's womb. Oh, Lord Jesus. I knew you, but, now wait a minute. He says, I knew you before I formed you. Wait a minute. I knew you first. I knew all about you. Know your heart, know your mind, know what you're going to do, know your past, your present, your future. I knew all about you before you were born. But not only did I know you, but I formed you. Now, I knew you first, then I formed you. And I formed you, see, and because I knew you first, I knew how to form you. Yeah, y'all get that? I knew what you were going to do. I knew what your life was going to be about. So therefore, when I formed you, when I made you, I gave you everything you need to do what I wanted you to do in your life. I formed you because I knew you. I formed you. And because God formed you, know if somebody down you for the way God made you, the God of the universe formed you the way you are. So don't let nobody put you down for the way that God made you. He knew your features. He knew what race you would be. He knew your talents and your abilities. In your mother's womb, he already knew if you would have curly hair or straight hair. If you would have a broad nose or a slim nose. He knew if your lips would be thick or thin. He knew if your skin would be light or dark. He knew if you would be tall or short in stature. He knew, amen, that your frame, it would either, well, it would be light or larger. He knew all those things about you before he knew you, so he gave you that. I like what it says in Psalms 139, I think 13 and 14. It says, listen here. I am fearfully, when he made me, when I was in my mother's womb, he was working on me, making me who I am. Then he says, when I finish with it, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So sometimes when somebody tell you about your features, you're too dark, too light, had to nap it, had to, amen, what we call it, this kind of care, God made a care, I had strong, God we strong. Amen. A high strong. So whether you're high strong, straight, amen. Whether you're short or tall, amen. Whether your lips are small or wider, whether your nose are wide, broad, or slim, God said, I made you like that because I knew you and I knew how to make you because I knew the life I had for you to live. Now, folk will try to convince you that the way God made you is the wrong way. Some say, even before they know us, and they see that our skin has been darkened by the kiss of the sun, they say, hey, because our skin is like that, we are not as smart. Amen. And often they'll say, because of the color of our skin, we are criminals. They say, hey, your skin is so dark. And then automatically when they see you, pull you over. Amen. For a traffic stop, they'll say you are a criminal. When you walk through the store, even though you might have all the money you need to buy whatever it is in that store, sometimes because of the color of skin, they'll follow you by the store because they, amen, see you as a criminal and see you as somebody can't be trusted. But see, the only thing about that to me is the same people that see you as a criminal are descendants from the people that came over here, amen, and lived in it. And they said they discovered America, but you can't discover a place where people already live. The Indians, amen, the Native Americans, I mean, they were already live here. They took their stuff. They pilfered their stuff. They raped them and beat them and brutal, and yet they call it us. Criminals? I'm just going to tell you like it is. They look at the whole criminal. Amen. If we are criminals, who we learned it from? I wish I had a witness in here. You need to put this thing in context. Don't let nobody say what you can't do because of the color of your skin, how smart you. Don't feel like when you in a room, amen, and you see your son kiss skin, and you look around and other people have lighter skin that God has blessed them with. Don't think you are inferior because of the color. You are just as good. You can be just as smart. It's all about the work you put in. Sometimes we don't have a lot of money. Sometimes I had to come up with poor families because, amen, we weren't able to get generational wealth because they redlined. No one way, best way to get wealth is by having houses and selling homes, but they redlined where we couldn't buy houses. We had to rent houses or live in apartments or projects. So it wasn't our fault that we don't have wealth. A lot of the time, amen, now sometimes it is our fault, but a lot of the systemic things that they were put in place kept us from being able to acquire wealth like others did. Don't put yourself down. Know how important, how valuable you are. God said, I knew you, and then I formed you, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Jesse Jackson says, his mother always thought of herself as being ugly, he would say, because she saw her reflection in the dishwater. But sometimes, wasn't that she was ugly, but the dishwater was dirty. Because sometimes when folk don't appreciate what God and the way God has made you, they're because they're dirty dishwater. Don't let dirty dishwater tell you how beautiful or unbeautiful you are. Amen. Because you're looking through the wrong thing to reflect. Let God say, the truest thing about you is what God says in truth. And God said, I knew them and I formed them. I knew them way back. They've been on my mind a long time ago. Don't you know you was on God's mind before the earth came, before he said, let there be light? You was already on God's mind. You was already in God's head. Your design was already in God's head. Now, listen here. God says, I formed you. I knew what I had to do. Now, so I formed you. God, What else will you think about when you're formed? Listen to what he says to Jeremiah. Before you were born, I set you apart. You were set apart. He said, I knew you. I formed you. I set you apart. But like, now, I remember some of my family members, grandma and stuff. You probably know some people like this too. Maybe somebody out here might be like this. They got these living rooms. But you're not supposed to sit in no living room. You got a whole room. In the front of the house, it's always clean and spotless, but you can't sit in it. You remember somebody like that? Amen. I remember him and my friend had a living room. They said, you're not supposed to sit in the living room. Hey, but you know, when I'll be over there high, but when the parents leave, oh yeah, we playing football and everything in that living room. And one day we broke the coffee table, but we glued it back together. Then they found out about that a year later. We glued that coffee table back together, looked good as new, because nobody ever put anything on it. But the reason why they don't want you in that room, because that room was set aside. That room is not the room you went in every day, sit in every day. That was set aside. That was a special room for when company came. And if it wasn't no company, you couldn't sit in that room. That was a special room. Set aside room. Unique room. It was a valued room. It was like the showcase room. God said, I knew you, and then I formed you, and you're not ordinary. You're not everyday. You're special. I set you aside because I got a special way I want to use your life. Listen to me, young people. Your life is too valuable. Your life is so valuable. God set your life apart. Say, amen. This ain't any kind of young man. This ain't any kind of young woman here. Amen. I done set them apart. I knew them. Amen. Before they was in the mother womb, then I formed them in their mother's womb. And when I was forming them because they're not ordinary. Run of the mill. I got something special for them to do with their lives. I got a special assignment for them. For Jeremiah, it was to be a prophet. What is it for you? Because God got a plan for your life too. God has a plan for your life too. You're here because God has an assignment for you. He has an assignment. If we lose you, who will do your assignment? It's going to be emptiness because God had an assignment for you. That's why you got to live. That's why you all want to live. Because God has made you to do something special to make this world a better place. And if we lose you, the world can't become all God meant it for it to be. Got an assignment. I knew you. I knew what you were going to do. I knew your impact on the world. I knew the mind you had. I knew the heart you had. And I formed you. Because I had an assignment for you. I had an appointment for you. I had something for you to do. Listen. I set your part. Cause you like this, you know, some of the other people got, you know, some of y'all, they got China. Y'all got a little money, y'all bought you some China. You don't eat out of that China every day. That China standing, some of y'all ain't never eat out of that China. That China has been in the China, it's dusty in the China cabinet. Amen. Because every day you eat out of church. Someday you might say, as if you eat out of paper plates. But when the company, you waiting for the day company come over. And when company come over, you got to get the good china out. That's what I'm trying to tell these young people and all of you that are here that are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're good china. Amen. You're not every day, every day. Something about you. You're valuable. You're special. You are somebody in God's plan. God has a role for you to play. Let me go home and try to finish this thing off. Listen. He's assigned you for some things. You got a role. There's some people he wants you, amen, to live to impact. Amen. There's some people he wants you to reach that I can't even reach. He has assigned, because you can reach people that the pastor can't reach. Amen. Because you are able to connect with you and your personality. That's why he made so. You got a special assignment that God has called. I don't know what it is. You got to learn it from God. God will tell you, if you stay closer to him, it'll begin to unfold. If you just stay close to God, but not that task, that role that God wants you to play, that assignment that he has for you, that plan he has for your life, it's too important. You can't take your life. You're valuable. I heard a few days ago about some kids down in the Leo School District and what they were doing. Amen. They were auctioning off. They had a play auction where they were auctioning off the black students in the school. And some said, how much did that worth? Some said, about $5. How much did that? About $15. They was auctioning off the black students. But I'll stop by to tell you, amen, if you're here and you're part of God's, you're following Jesus and part of God's plan, God says, no, you're priceless. You can't be bought because you're priceless to me. You're so priceless to me. I paid a price for you that's so, so much more. Your life is important. That's why we say, amen, that black lives matter. Not because other lives don't matter, but because often, amen, and there's some other groups in the same situation, often we're not treated like our lives are matter. Not treated like they matter. But we are valued. God values you. Not only has he assigned us for something, he's assigned you to something. Listen, you can't stop now. Because God has assigned something to come to you. There's some places that God has assigned for you to go. Listen to what I'm talking about. There's some places God has assigned you to go in your future. You don't want to miss out on where God has assigned you to go. Because who knows where God has assigned you to go? Who knows what corporation you'll be part of? What ministry you'll be part of? Who knows where God has assigned you to go in your life? God has an assignment. Don't stop living because he has an assignment. He has some things assigned to your life. Places to go. Things. Amen. He has some things for you. He has some things assigned to you. You don't even know you don't know what kind of house is assigned to you. Amen. You don't know the friends you're going to meet. Amen. You're going to meet great friends. Yeah. You will have the other type. See, every life, you got some haters and some celebrators. Amen. I don't care what you do for God, you will have some haters and you will have some celebrators. You will have some folk, when you look at their faith, they got no faces. And then when you look at the other faces, you will have some yes faces. I thank the Lord, amen, that God not only give us some no faces, but God will give you some yes faces. And God said later on down the road, don't you worry about their faces, because realize I'm going to be with you. Jeremiah said, Lord, I'm too young to do what you're calling me to do. And then God said, no excuses, Jeremiah, because if I call you to it, I can qualify you for it. Because all of us got excuses. Some people say, I ain't got enough education, amen. Some say, like me, I can't talk right. I don't always speak the king's English. And we have all kinds of excuses. I don't have enough money. All kinds of, God says, listen here, Jeremiah, don't you realize that the sum that I give you, don't worry about it. Because when I assign you, when I appoint you, once you get your appointment, then I give you your anointment. Lord, I had a witness in here. God don't give you an appointment without an anointment. That's why he said that. He said, Cana, and he touched, amen. The Lord touched, I'm going to touch your mouth. I'm going to put my words in your mouth. When God gives you an appointment, an assignment, he will also give you the ability to carry out that assignment. Moses said, Lord, you know I can't speak. Moses had the same assignment. Lord, you know I can't speak to Pharaoh. You know I'm going to study a lot. He said, don't worry about that, Moses. I'll be with your mouth. Oh, yeah. Paul said, Lord, I'm the chief of sinners. That's all right. I need a sinner. Because when they look at you and know you're the chief, they realize what I can do with the chief of sinners. I can change the chief of sinners to a mighty apostle. Don't worry about it. Your past don't disqualify you. Because your mess that you made in the past, I can take that mess and make it out of a mess. So that doesn't disqualify you. Matter of fact, that qualifies you for what I'm going to use you for. Because when you preach, they can already see a walking example of what you're telling them about. Don't miss out on what God has in store for you by taking your life, because your life has so much more in store. Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Your problem may just not last an hour, a day or two. But them last for always. Why would you use a permanent solution for a temporary problem? Oh, you have so much to live for. Brothers and sisters, we have so much to live for. Who knows what God, the places God wants to take us, the people we might meet, the places we want to go. God has all kinds of things appointed. See, you're appointed for a job, but he has some stuff appointed that it's already on your way to your house. It's already headed toward your mailbox. Amen. You don't know what's headed toward your mailbox, what's headed toward your house, what's headed toward your future. God already, it's on the way. It's going to get there. But will you be there for it? You're valuable. Let me go and close this out. You're valuable. In the movie, there's a movie that was popular a few years ago called 13 Reasons Why. 13 Reasons Why. The character of the movie, I think her name is Hannah Baker. I may be wrong, but I think it was Hannah Baker. And she committed suicide. And she left some discs, seven discs, and 13 reason why she committed suicide. And each one of those reasons talks about a person or something that happened in her life. Somebody that exploited her. Somebody that said bad things about her. You know how our people do sometimes on social media. Bullying. How people have humiliated her. She lists those 13 things. She left that so people would know why she committed suicide. I want to tell you, you may go through some rough stuff, but that's all right. God says, you can make it because I'm with you. Hallelujah. And when they're telling you everything, when they're putting you down, when they're ostracizing you, when they're trying to humiliate you, calling everything out of your name, remember to look at how I see you. I see you as valuable. I see you as priceless. I see you as so priceless. There's nothing I wouldn't give for you. You don't believe me? I gave my only begotten son to come all the way from heaven down because you are priceless. He came all the way from heaven down and walked this earth for 33 long years. And found, they crucified him on the cross. They made fun of him too. They said, come down from the cross and save yourself. But he wouldn't come down because he had an assignment. He had a assignment because you are so valuable. You are so precious. You are so important. He wouldn't come down the cross to serve himself. But he decided to stay there just to serve you. And he died on that cross. Died on that cross. Gave his life. Because even he knew you before he formed you, before he appointed you and gave you assignment and sanctified you. He knew you for which means he knew every sin you would commit. Even before you were born, he knew every sin you would commit. He knew every time you stumble, he knew every mistake, and yet, woo, hallelujah. He said, that's all right, because he already had a plan to take care of all that. I'm going to send my only begotten son to die on Calvary's cross to pay for your sins. Because you are priceless. Don't take that priceless individual, your priceless uniqueness, the priceless person that you are. The world needs you. You got a reason to live because God knew you, formed you, set you aside because you're special, valuable, not every day. You are somebody and he has some things appointed for your life. Don't miss them. And the enemy, Satan, don't want you to experience the abundant life that God has for you. That's what sin is about. The sins we struggle with are the things, amen, that the enemy uses us because he doesn't want us to experience the abundant life God has for us. But I'm glad the same one that died on the cross. And 3 days later, that power that raised him from the grave, and he said that same power can help you deal with your sins and your struggles, and you can be what God called you to be. Live. Live for him. Live for him. If I were you, I'd just make up in my mind, I don't care what people say, I'm going to live for him. Because I want to see what the end is going to be. I'm going to live for him. Because I want to see what he got in. Amen. He got some things in store for me. And I want everything. I want everything that God had in store for me. Everything that he appointed for me. I want it. And when I get it, as I go along, I'm going to keep giving God the glory. Because he deserves it. He deserves the glory. He deserves it. Let me end by saying this, y'all. Jesus rose. He's alive. And listen here. I don't care who you are, amen. What car you in here, young people, older people. God has a great work. Now, y'all hear me what I'm saying? God has a great work he wants to do in you, through you, through you and for you and for the world. God wants to do a great work. That's why we can't give up, because God has a great work for us to do. And I'm glad sometimes, even when we don't have enough strength, he said, Lord, I know you got a great work for me. I don't know if I can. I'm about ready to throw in the towel. Jeremiah knew about this. Jeremiah said, get too hard, God. I've been preaching, I've been prophesying, ain't nobody turning around. They criticized me, talking about me, looking at me, looking at no faith, looking at mean faith. Amen. Lord, I can't. And Jeremiah said, I'm going home. Oh, y'all don't hear me. And I'm going to sit down, and I'm not going to preach in your name no more. But when Jeremiah got home and sat down, he said, suddenly fell the fire. Oh, y'all don't hear me. He got home and said, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I'm not going to do what God. And he got home and sat down. Said, I'm over with. I'm through with it. But he got home, and he said, it felt like fire. Shut up and go. Because when God creates you to do something, you got to do it. And when you don't do it, or you try to quit doing it, it feels like fire. Shut up in your bone. So I call him. I'm calling young people and old people and say, hey, I got to let some of this stuff go that's holding me back from doing what God wants me to do, for being what God wants me to be. God got an assignment for me. I got to get my life in order so I can pursue his assignment with all my strength. God got some things in store for me. He got a great work he want to do in me. We're going to come with a song now. My brothers and sisters, consider wherever you're sitting. And if you don't know Jesus, today is the day you need to say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior, because I know you got a great work for me. Because you knew me before I was in my mother's womb. And you formed me in my mother's womb. And the way you formed me, because you sanctified me, set apart. I'm special. Amen. I'm valuable. I'm important. I'm just not everyday and ordinary. And then, God, you got some appointments for me that I got to keep. Alright, here we go.
And you don't know how to move forward. And sometimes there are turns you wanna take, but the way gets hard to trace. Now you're wondering, how did you get here? But don't you give up until you see how God is ordering your steps, so you can walk into your seats. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform. Our God is faithful.
Bird and doing a great way.
Not with just a call of you. our mothers' mothers, father's father, planted seeds when we were but the faint notion of a dream in their mind. They hope for a harvest, a legacy of great work.
All you young people,
sorry, your next step forward. Help us to connect the dots and see.
You're doing a great work.
This picture of greatness.
I'm looking, if you just leave me around long enough, I'm just looking forward to see what he's going to do in some of your lives, especially some of our young people, our teenagers and youth, BJ and amen, and all the Busby kids, amen, and Hutchinson's. I'm just looking forward, amen, to what he's going to do in some lives where we can just celebrate. Amen. So, amen, when your haters try to beat you down, God says, hey, I made you. I knew you. I made you. I appointed you some things. I done set you aside. Folk will try to, amen. Folk will try to set you aside, but God sets you apart because you're special. You're sanctified. You for here for you. He going to use your life. Oh, it ain't nothing like a life used by God. A life used by God can change the whole world. Wow. You've got a reason to live. Got a reason to live, because God made you to make the world better. Keep making the world better until you say, all right, your time's up. Come home and be with me. Let's celebrate all that you've done. What a blessed day we had. Thank you all for coming out. Those of you that are sharing in the podcast, we pray. We pray for you. Amen. Always look at all of the ways, the Bible is full of scriptures that tell us how God is saying, I see you like this. I see you like this. You are more than conquerors. That's the way I see you. That's hey, I see you like this. I'm glad he saw me like this and said, hey, I was worried. I was worth saving. What a wonderful God we serve. Some people see you there. You're too old. Your time's up. But no, that's not how God sees you. Because God can use both. Amen. Those with years. Because we need those with years to share with us as we're coming up. Amen. Give us the benefit of their experience. And then you're never too young. Because, hey, God can, when you commit your life to him while you're young, he can do more with your life because you get an early start. And then if you middle-aged, you're just right. Oh, God, you got the energy in. You got a little wisdom in, a little energy. You can mix that up. God can use us all. But give your life to him because he wants to do a great work through you. And my prayer is that he will do a great work through our church, which means the collection of us as we go and live for him. Amen. Bless y'all. Have a great day. Let's get ready to dismiss. Are there any, I don't think there's any other announcements. Now, we won't be here next week. Next week is that off week. Amen. We said we're going to have two weeks in a month, we'll be outside. 1 week, we'll be inside. And for now, the other Sunday is kind of a just podcast. Give us a little time to rest because sitting up this stuff every Sunday and all the things that goes with it is kind of a wears on you in different ways. So that 1 week we don't come down gives us a little bit of a easier way in a point. So thank you so much. But we will meet you on podcast, if the Lord say the same, next week. All right, let's go, everybody. Let's give them give you the benediction. Father God, we just thank you for what you've done. God, I'm so looking forward to what you're going to do with the young people that are listening on the podcast and out here on the parking lot. And, amen, the middle age and some of our elders. You're going to do some amazing things. I already know, God. And I'm just looking forward to what you're going to do with our church. Do a great work. Do a great work in us, God. Do a great work. Let us have an impact on this city and this community. Amen. Now unto him who's able to keep us and present us without fault before our Father's throne. May the love of God our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, our confident rest, rule of the Bible is now henceforth and forevermore. Amen. Let us say it together three times. Amen. Amen. And amen. Thank you so much. Continue to pray for one another and encourage one another. Amen. Don't get discouraged. And when you get depressed or down or anxiety, just think, amen. Think about how God sees you, and then that should help you. Go to that ICU where you're thinking about how God sees you. Amen. Mm-hmm.